Today, my dear faithful, is Passion Sunday. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham, your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it, and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I mentioned before, my dear faithful, today is Passion Sunday. It is called Passion Sunday because it is the preparation for the following week, Holy Week, when we will follow our Lord through his passion and his death. To prepare us and to give us a greater understanding of the meaning behind our Lord's sufferings, the Church specifically chose today's epistle. The epistle of today's Mass explains one of the great truths of our salvation, that Christ bought our souls at the price of his blood. As the epistle says, Jesus Christ is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. By our Lord's death, then, the gates of heaven were opened. However, he was not alone in suffering the Passion. As the Sacred Heart suffered for our sins, so too did the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That is why, just as we have Passion Sunday, so also the Friday after Passion Sunday, that is, this upcoming Friday, it is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Every grace each person receives was bought for them by our Lord's blood, as well as through the prayers and the sorrows of Our Lady. Only Christ carried the cross, but Our Lady, she carried it in her heart. Let us, my dear faithful, contemplate with the Church something of this sorrow. Let us see what our Blessed Mother suffered for us and join her on the way of the cross. See Mary standing on the roadside, the rabble all around her, waiting to catch a glimpse of her child as he struggles to his death. Already our Savior has been condemned to death. He has been beaten, scourged, and tortured. And now he must carry his cross. The first glimpse Mary sees is the giant beams of the cross. Bent beneath this mass of wood is her beloved son. His once white robe is now red with his blood. As he draws closer, she sees not just a crown, but a mass of thorns upon his head. On he walks until he stands right in front of her. Then he stops and he turns to his mother. His bruised and bloody face looks up to her, and their eyes meet. What agony would any mother suffer at this sight? Sorrow tore deep into the Immaculate Heart, like a sword rending it asunder. Our Lord looks into his Blessed Mother's eyes. He beholds this sorrow that overwhelms her heart at the sight of his own sufferings. And this, seeing his mother suffer, doubles the weight of his own cross. And Our Lady, how well she understood the Sacred Heart. She had come to witness the Passion, to comfort her son, to show that she at least still loved him. But she saw that she added to his pain, and this plunged that sword of sorrow to the hilt into her heart. But could a mother do anything else? What else could Mary do but stand by her dying son? On he struggled past her, his cross's weight now doubled, and on she followed him, her agony doubled as well. We do not know if they met again on the way to Calvary. All we do know is they both arrived on Calvary's peak, one to die on the cross and the other to die in her heart. Our sorrowful mother most likely witnessed the soldiers ripping our Lord's clothes from him. She beheld his mangled body covered with wounds. Her child stood before her with open gashes all over, pouring forth his blood. Sorrow, pain, and pity overwhelmed her. But the soldiers seemed to be unaffected. They grabbed the Savior, pushed and pulled his bruised and bleeding body, and threw him down upon the rough wood of the cross, renewing every wound. How Our Lady must have shuddered at the sound that followed. as the iron nails were placed in her son's hands, and they were pounded through into the wood. Again and again and again, the dull thud of the wooden hammer striking on the metal nail pounded in her ears. At each strike, her heart wrenched with anguish. It must have felt as if those nails were driven into her own heart, one piercing blow at a time. Finally, it was over, the hammering done. And yet, it had only just begun. For then the cross was lifted and dropped into the hole prepared for it. There hung the God-man upon the cross, pierced with three nails. And there stood Mary beneath, her heart pierced again with a sword of sorrow. The Stabat Mater, the hymn we sing during the Way of the Cross, beautifully describes this scene. Christ above in torment hangs. She beneath beholds the pangs of her dying glorious Son. Is there one who would not weep, whelmed in miseries so deep, Christ, dear Mother, to behold? For 3 hours, 3 agonizing hours, the Son of God was pinioned to the cross, shedding his most precious blood, while his blessed mother could only watch and listen. Each agonizing moment seemed an eternity, until finally our Savior cried out one last miserable cry of pain and breathed forth his soul. The Way of the Cross, my dear faithful, is a most ancient devotion. According to tradition, Mary herself was the first to practice it. Our Lady walked the streets of Jerusalem, following the path our Savior followed, reliving his passion. Even years later, she commiserated with her son's sufferings and offered her love and comfort to the Sacred Heart. We join Our Lady in the Way of the Cross for that same reason. We contemplate her Divine Son, share in his sorrows, and offer our love as well. That is also the reason Holy Mother of the Church has provided the ceremonies of Holy Week. Step by step, we follow our Lord through that most holy week of all time. We behold his triumph on Palm Sunday, then attend his first Mass on Holy Thursday. That same night, we join our Savior in his agony in the garden, then follow him in his passion on Good Friday. Then, finally, we rejoice at the glory of his resurrection on Holy Saturday. With each of these ceremonies, like Our Lady, we draw near to Christ. We learn of him better. We are encouraged to love him more and to bear our cross in this life for him. That is why, if at all possible, my dear faithful, I urge you to join us here at the chapel for the ceremonies of Holy Week. Accompany our Lord and our Blessed Lady. Share in their glories. Commiserate in their sorrows. Through it all, offer your love by their side. If you are not able to come to the ceremonies, at least do something to set these days apart most especially Good Friday. Let that day of our Lord's death for us be a day of quiet, of prayer, and of sorrow. For this God, my dear faithful, gave everything for you, and so too did Mary, his mother. Make a return to our God, who has loved you so much. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.